This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, if you want to listen to the full Burt Show every day uninterrupted, we got no ads on that thing. All you have to do is become a bonus BS subscriber. That's bonus Burt Show. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burt Show.
At some point yesterday, said to myself,
self.
So this is my life, huh? This is where we're at now.
It is.
As a middle-aged man.
Uh-huh.
Stood there amongst his peers.
Yep.
In a diaper.
Yes.
Yep. So this is my life.
It is.
This is our life. And it was for a good cause.
It was for a fantastic cause. So I just wanted to thank everybody again for stepping up for Helping Mamas. They are a nonprofit. They are the Baby Bank Supply of Georgia. They were doing a campaign to fill their warehouse with diapers. And you, the Burt Show fam, came through so huge. We had different goals. With each goal you hit, a different Burt Show member would pose in a diaper in a photo. You guys blew all of those goals out of the water. We were shocked when you donated over 52,000 diapers to Helping Mamas, which they told me yesterday helps 2,000 babies.
Yeah, and let's not get it twisted here. This is not some huge organization that gets 50,000 diapers every day. This was a very, you made an impact.
You made a huge impact. And we're actually going to talk to Jamie, the CEO and founder, later on today, so she can really paint the picture of what you guys accomplished. And so I know I put everybody on the spot because I recorded you without your knowledge and said that you were going to be in on this, but everybody did it. And I think our listeners are proud of us. I'm proud of everybody for doing it. That was old school radio at its finest.
You definitely manipulated us for a good cause. So. I mean, because how can you on the radio go, no, I'm not going to be in a diaper if there are thousands of kids that aren't going to have diapers. You can't say no to that publicly.
I mean, you could, but I put you in an impossible position. So you're welcome for that.
My favorite part was when we had left it literally the day before the drive was to end, we were like 2,500 and change away from Abby posing. And then we had like another 5K after that to get
10.
Another 10K?
No, 5K. You're not right.
So 7,500 to get the whole cast to pose. So I'm like, we'll be lucky if we eke out Abby posing, but like Bert, Kristen, and Mo, still good enough. That's a ton of diapers. So I roll in, unshowered, unshaved, unmakeuped, unwashed hair. I'm like, yeah, cool. We're going to take some photos of them today. They have to pose in diapers. And Kristen's like, 52,000 diapers. And I was like, woo, no, that beats all of us.
Let's go ahead and acknowledge our MVP, Mr. Tommy Owens.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Let me tell you something about Tommy Owens here. Well done, dude. So Tommy, Kristen, and I kind of grew up in the old school way of radio, right? And that was...
You put your body on the line, baby.
You do what you got to do. Mental health was not an issue back in the day. You did what you had to do, right? So we got this diaper idea, and everybody was like sheepish about showing some skin there, showing some skin there. Tommy comes out there and just... What do you even call that tie there?
Oh, what is that old school where you like pull up your shirt and tuck it in?
It's like you take it and you go under and then you bring it back over to make a little tie.
Damn, you owned
a little
it, dude.
Sexy tie.
You owned it. Owned it.
I thought I put a little cherry on top.
Yes, you did.
That was cherry. That was whipped cream. That was sprinkles. That was all of it, baby.
I couldn't match Mo's enthusiasm yesterday. Which is captured. We might have captured it in 1, 2, 3. All of the photos that we took.
One.
His lack of enthusiasm for this one was just through the roof.
I did it. Got it done.
Well, you have the most to gloat about. I couldn't figure out why you were uncomfortable.
How you figure that?
I saw the picture with the pants, the sweaters.
I have to go home to my friends and family and community. It's not fun. It's not a fun day. But I did it.
I do feel like you get unnecessarily more crap than everybody else, and I don't understand why, and I don't think it's fair.
It's because I'm black.
See, but I don't think that's fair.
I don't think that's it. I think it's because you just didn't own it.
No.
It's because I'm
it's
black.
It's a fact.
Is it different in the community? Really?
If you look at his DMs compared to our DMs, when it was for such a good cause and helps out so many, I really do, like, I want you to send every single one my way so I can give them the Mama K what for.
I wish I could.
What did the DMs look like for you?
It's rough.
It was?
Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, fill me in.
It's a culture thing. It's like, how do you explain this?
You don't make yourself look like an idiot?
You look like a clown. Yeah, to black people. Because it's like, it's been kind of since the beginning of time. It's as if when black comedians make it or become a success story, they force them to, like, wear dresses and to do things that they don't necessarily want to do in order to make people laugh. And you're looked at as a clown. Like, you're going over there and doing this for white people. They don't see it like, oh, you're going out your way to help the kids. It's you just looked at as, like, you're dancing for the white people. You're a clown.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I didn't even think about those cultural things when we do those things, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't have that experience. I'm sorry you got to go through that, man. You would think that we'd be above that?
You would think, but like Dave Chappelle made it a thing once when he said that he wouldn't put on a dress for the movie because of what they did to like Marlon Wayans and Martin Lawrence and Jamie Foxx and the list goes on. So ever since then, it's been like a point to make of in the black community that you don't do these things to embarrass yourself or to clown yourself for the entertainment of others.
So was your uncomfortableness yesterday, which you really can't see in the pictures, was it because you knew you were going to get crap for it?
Absolutely.
It was.
I mean, we live like a woman week. I learned that lesson.
Right.
So I was like, okay, it's been a while. I've been able to escape the old ones, but here comes the new. And I mean, I literally had to turn my phone off yesterday.
And people didn't care that it was for helping out kids.
Not at all.
Damn.
I mean, and see, that's why that infuriates me, because it'd be one thing if we just made you do it. This was a team thing. We all did it together in solidarity.
We're allowed to be corny because we're white.
Apparently. But it's like, this helps babies of all colors, of all ethnicities, of like all diversities. And It made such a huge impact for this organization. And I don't think what people understand, had we not put that on the table, we might have gotten half the diapers that we did. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So it definitely pushed and made an impact. So for people to not even slide into your DMs, but to text you, and I get the history of it. I sincerely do. And I hate that for you. I hate that for the culture. I just wish people could see beyond that and realize what an awesome thing you did to help put diapers on 2,000 babies.
I'm with you. I wish they saw it like that, too. One day, I think it'll happen. But for now, you just deal with it. It's no big deal.
Was it deflating for you?
It is a big deal. I can tell by your face it's a big deal.
Yeah, I can see it, too.
I mean, it's just you... It's not really a big deal in the grand scheme of things. In the end, it'll all blow over. It'll be done. It's just for a few days I got to go through dealing with having to turn my phone off, and it's pretty annoying. Because sometimes it doesn't even come from people who are trying to drag it out. It could be your own family and friends thinking that they're just doing something cool by making fun of you. But it becomes to the point where you start to realize that whenever you do really cool things or really good things, they don't reach out at all. But the moment that you do something to where you feel embarrassed, all of a sudden your phone is blowing up. So it's annoying. It's all it is.
Damn. I'm sorry you had to go through and feel that at all yesterday, because you did such a great thing.
I appreciate it.
Hannah?
I'm also sorry you don't have support from those people when you do cool things and they don't reach out, but they only reach out when you have been embarrassed or humiliated in some way.
You start to realize that after a while.
Yeah, you kind of want to be like, cool, how many diapers did you donate? How many babies did you, you know, put diapers on today? None, so shut your mouth.
Exactly. Gosh, that.
I guess in some ways, even though we've been working together for so long, you know, I'm still so naive in some ways, because I would have never anticipated even a a molecule of negativity on doing something like this. So it bums me out,
yeah,
man.
We
I'm
didn't.
So sorry.
I didn't get one DM about it.
Me neither. Anything except positive stuff, yeah.
Well, y'all do it for me, okay? Enjoy the win for me, but no, it's all good.
I seriously, if there is, like, if there another bit here, because I, as a mama, am getting fired up, I seriously want you to send me, not of your, like, the people you know, because you can handle them, but any listener in your DM giving you crap about doing this, I want to respond to them and be like, how dare you?
Does that even fly? Like, okay, so Kristen's mad, so white woman is going to go ahead and chew you out in the black community for...
Oh, well, now you say it like that, never mind.
It's kind of like bringing your mom to school to fight for you.
But I am! I'm not the KKK!
I'm sorry you have to go through any. I would have never seen that coming. I am so sorry, man.
It's all good.
Abby, thank you for your participation yesterday also.
Of course, I did feel a little exposed. I had no idea those diapers were so scandalous. I came out wearing my Taylor Swift sweatshirt because it covered my hiney. Because I definitely felt a little double-cheeked up in my adult diaper.
I kept telling myself, people see more on a beach. People see more on a beach.
Yeah,
people see more on a beach.
Cassie, you owned it
you
for
did.
A woman that, you know, yesterday you did this segment about being self-conscious about going to your high school reunion. Man, you walked out there yesterday and you owned your look yesterday. And
thank
Rebecca
you.
Came back. She wasn't even feeling great yesterday.
I know.
She didn't do the show. She came back to be in it also, and she's told us how she's feeling about her body these days as well. So, for everybody that did it, thank you.
I can't speak for Rebecca, but that was not my first rodeo with adult diapers.
So, again, look, the...
Cassie had a baby, in case you didn't know.
She's actually had two. That's why. I wore them after birth.
So, for those of you that didn't know anything about helping mamas, this doesn't mean that you don't have to donate now, that we hit the finish line. They're never hitting the finish line.
We did. If you're impressed with the photo, you can go to helpingmamas.org and make a donation of any kind. They would be more than grateful to help out our community, our kids, and moms in need.
And I want to give Kristen credit. This was all her idea. She teamed up with Helping Mamas. She's the
Cassie's
one that put
the
this
only
whole
one
thing
to
together.
Mom and Abby are like, screw that noise.
But you get the win on this one.
Thank you.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Lizzo tearfully accepted a humanitarian award amidst all this lawsuit controversy. So if you've somehow missed it, Lizzo was recently sued by some of her former dancers for a hostile work environment. And I can tell that it's been really tough on Lizzo because, I mean, prior to that, she had a pretty much spotless reputation for activism and being just kind of like, you know, like an overall good celeb, we would think.
It's body positivity,
all the good stuff. And so when all this came out, it was pretty shocking. So she was recently accepted an award that praises her for a lot of that work. And a lot of people are, you know, kind of giving a little bit of side eye because of all the controversy. But her dancers, the big girls and the big boys, got up on stage and were actually the ones to present her with this award and show them and show the world how much they love Lizzo. So they're standing by her, and Lizzo, I mean, the entire time they were up there, I mean, she is literally holding back the tears. You can tell that the last couple of months have been absolutely brutal for her.
So I think canceling is being denied here for Lizzo. It appears to me, especially with this outpouring of love from most people, that I think you have to remember this from any organization also. Who knows how many men and women have worked on the set or on concerts or in her business, man. Let's call it hundreds, okay? It probably takes hundreds. So when you are never going to have any company where you have 100%, what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of
satisfaction
rate. But nowadays, if you're unhappy or you feel like you got the raw end of the deal, you can go on social media and you could try to ruin people. So let's say it's 5 or 6 people or 7 people out of the hundreds that she has dealt with. And dealt with in a fine way, they make a very loud voice now. So when you hear the reaction, the others coming out going, that was not our experience at all, I think you got to listen to that.
Yeah, exactly. And she seemed to really, really feel that and take that to heart when she got up on stage, because when she accepted this award, I mean, you could just feel the emotion in her voice.
So if I can just tag on to what you said, and I do agree with what you said, but I want to add, I think it also depends on the severity of the accusation, because you can date 1,000
1,000 women and treat all one great, but if there's one that you do something unspeakable to, sorry, that doesn't, that one doesn't get negated just because you dated 999 the right way.
Right. I mean, you're talking about an unspeakable event.
Yes,
unspeakable
I'm talking
event.
About an unspeakable so, acts.
I think that's different than what we're talking about here and
it
perception
is.
Of how they were treated.
I just know how some
but
people
yes.
listen and they only hear what they want to hear, so I wanted to have us covered.
We can't cover them all, man.
Oh, we can certainly try. Okay, Kelly Clarkson, she was on her way to soundcheck an iHeartRadio Awards show, and she passed a street performer who was crushing some Tina Turner, and this street performer actually asked her to sing, not having no clue who Kelly Clarkson was. And they have like this sweet embrace. It was so cool. So I kind of hope at some point Kelly, like, I don't know, brings this woman up on stage and maybe they do a little Tina together.
I don't even think that the street performer realized it. I think as people were starting to take pictures around and video around, I think somebody said who she was. And that's when the street performer's like, oh, I guess it is.
The street performer was like, you're really going to make it.
You should do this for a living.
You should go on American Idol.
People are hoping Taylor Swift will help the Chiefs make one major change off the field, and it's got nothing to do with Travis Kelce. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Abby, I was shocked last night.
Oh, because you watched the Naked and Afraid dating show?
Oh, my God. All right.
Was it all you imagined and more?
Way more. Way more. So the show is called
Naked Attraction.
Attraction, yeah. Right? Oh my God, you guys. So
and it's on Max, right?
I think so. I don't even know what's on
it's
anything
on Max,
anymore.
Yeah, because
yeah.
They can show their ding-a-lings.
Yes.
So it's a dating show.
It's not on ABC.
Hell of a tease, Abby.
Did you just swat at
yes,
it like a cat with a toy?
No,
yes.
I was doing like a
here,
like,
kitty.
No, you know, like this is it. But it's just it's dangling.
Now we know why she's single.
Well, there were some that were dangling way more than others. But here is the format of the show. All right, girl comes out. And the host asks her what she likes, what she doesn't like. And everybody on the show is about to get naked anyway. But before you see their face or meet them or anything like that, they're in like these booths, right, that have a door. And the door starts at first. The host will say, okay, let's see the bottom part of your potential date. And they raise the door just above
the groin?
Come the on. Groin. So you can't see their faces. You can't see anything except their down unders from the waist down. And these dudes are just standing there while the camera goes from dude number one weenie to dude number two weenie all the way down the line.
Are you sure you weren't watching porn?
Dude, I'm telling you, man. I am telling you, it was shocking to watch. I have never seen anything like this. So the dudes are just standing there, and they're not asking questions or anything, but the woman that is going to choose the date goes from door to door critiquing
no.
the dude's
no,
manhood.
She doesn't.
Come on,
no.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you guys.
And they gotta stand there and just listen to it.
Yes. And you can't see their face or anything. But I mean, she'll go right up to like one of the dudes and go, yeah, not girthy enough.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, Mo, there's worse jobs. Did she bring out the measuring tape or what?
And they're standing there naked. And again, you can't see their face or anything above. And then they eliminate somebody in the first round. So
oh.
if she doesn't like his jump, the door comes up. He's standing there naked. He comes out to greet her, hugs her. He's naked.
Yeah.
She's not. Yeah. And then walks off the set. And then the door comes back up a little bit. So now you can see their abs and now you can see everything underneath that.
Like from the pecs down.
Yep. But they're still standing there just completely wow. and totally naked until there is just one dude left. And then she, the date, has to get naked also.
When does she get naked?
At the very end of the whole thing, after she picks a dude.
She picks a dude, then she gets naked.
Now, I only got 15 minutes into it.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure
that's
what
all
happened.
You needed.
That's all I needed. And I was reminded why I hate body hair.
13 minutes longer than I would have.
Like, ever since I was a kid, there's been the urban legend of sorority sitting down and, like, circling parts on their sister's bodies with Sharpies and critiquing it and how that's so bad and so awful and we shouldn't. And I agree. This show is, like, that without the Sharpie.
But you can't get mad at them. They knew what they were getting themselves into.
I'm mad at the company. Like, that's 2023.
So I didn't watch it past the 15-minute mark, but in the commercials and the trailers for it, then it's reverse roles.
As you already say, it's only fair.
So women have to stand there. I will see this tonight. Women have to stand there with just everything from naked from the waist down while a dude critiques them one by one.
Uh-uh.
And I'm assuming gets the same action as the woman did the day before. It's a shocking show because in a lot of shows, when you see frontal nudity, it's really, really quick. No, these cameras are right up close and you see everything while everybody is just standing there.
They're zooming in.
They're zooming in.
I wonder how cold it was in that room, too, for a guy.
They might have had some of those doors colder than others.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. But it is kind of intriguing because as you're looking at their junk or whatever, you're like, I wonder what this guy's face looks like. So you can't help but be gripped to it just to see.
If the face matches the junk?
Yes. And in a lot of cases, it does not.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? Are you surprised at how, like, all the different types and varieties?
I haven't seen a whole bunch in my life. I'm going to be honest with you, right? I was very proud of the Short King, though, who showed up really, really well. I was not expecting that body type for that part of his body.
Uh-huh.
Oh, because you don't know how tall they are either.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell, though, I would imagine when the boxes lift and you can see how long their legs are. If one box got raised here, and the other one's like, boop.
You're right. That makes sense.
Unless he's got a real long torso.
It is seriously the most shocking dating show I've ever seen in my life.
Did you watch it, Abby?
No, I haven't watched it yet. Mondays are my hard days, so I never really have no pun intended.
It was hard for Bert, too.
It was anything but. It might be tonight, but
they were dangling in.
Last night was intimidating. Tonight, I'll enjoy more.
To all the parents taking their kids to school right now, my sincere apologies.
You're welcome.
The Bert Show.
All right, Katie, could you bounce back from a really, really, I don't want to say bad first impression, because you made a great first impression, but you played the game too well.
Yeah,
and I think I'm just getting in the way of my own dating life at this point. You know, I just have to accept that I might be single forever, because I'm the problem now. And that's what happened when I met this woman out at a bar, met her, instantly was like, oh my gosh. And she was like, you're gorgeous. And I was like, girl, first, I need to know if you're gay or not. And then she confirmed it. So I was like, all right, cool. Let's exchange numbers. And it seemed like it was like a perfect like first meetup of wanting to get to know one another. And so after texting her, I only texted her like good morning, but then I was in my head, I was like, I should play this game of hard to get, which was stupid.
It was too late at that point, though. I mean, you already said good morning. Hard to get is over at that point, right?
I don't know what I was thinking, but then she responded back, you know, to my good morning message. And then I was like, I'm going to wait like 6 hours and text her back. By the time I text her back,
she asked you to do something, right?
Yeah, we were supposed to go out. And yeah, I just wanted to wait and be like, all right, I'm going to wait till the end of the day.
Now, I understand your mentality, though. I don't want to seem too eager or too desperate. So if she asks me out, I don't want to immediately hit her back because then she'll think I'm free all the time. You don't want that. So I get where you're coming from.
Exactly. So that's, I just wanted to, you know, not do all too much too soon. And also, there's already the stereotype with lesbians, this whole U-Haul thing that we move way too fast. So I didn't want to be that lesbian that moves way too fast.
But don't you want to match energy? Like, you said good morning, and then she hits you back. So why not just match energy? Next time.
Yeah, right. Next time. It's I'm learning.
Let's just establish the common sense of it. Like, you can't play hard to get after first thing in the morning saying good morning.
Absolutely not.
The window is closed.
Mm-hmm. I know. And so I just didn't know if I was going to be able to bounce back, but you all encouraged me to send a message.
Mm-hmm.
And
the only thing we thought might be appropriate was, hey, and just come clean. Like, hey, I was playing a game there. I am so sorry. This is not me. I'm so sorry. Can I have another shot at this?
Yes.
Because what happened again after you did end up texting her and she ghosted you?
Yeah, she never said anything back after I waited 6 hours to text her. Mm-hmm. I responded back and I never heard from her again.
Mm-hmm. All right, so before you finish the story, Abby, if this happens to you and a guy that you met and you text good morning, like just like this, and then he ghosts or he doesn't text you for 6 hours, text you, you don't respond, and then he hits you up with like, listen, I was just trying to play a game. I didn't want to be like too eager, blah, blah, blah. Is that a red flag, or would you give him a chance?
Can I be honest? I love radical honesty. Like, yeah. I love people breaking the fourth wall with themselves and kind of just being like, listen, like, this is where I was coming from. This is what I was feeling. I get really frustrated in conflict if I feel like we're arguing about one thing, but you're really arguing internally with something else. Mm-hmm. And so for me, if a guy came to me with that kind of honesty and just kind of like letting me in on his thought process, I'd be so turned on. Seriously, I'd be, where are we going?
And I have this problem where once I feel like I've embarrassed myself, especially in front of a woman that I'm interested in, I'll disappear. Like, I'll just go ghost, I'll go silent or whatever, and I'll just try to hide and get over my embarrassment somewhere in a corner. And so I really did not want to text her because I felt like I've already embarrassed myself. Why go back and do this? However, at Abby's first podcast, live podcast, right? There was a couple listeners that came up to me.
Okay.
It's like, Katie, I heard the show. Mm-hmm. Are you going to text her? Mm-hmm. Are you going to text her? Mm-hmm. Are you texting her? Mm-hmm. You got to text her. And I was like, well, I don't know. They're like, text her. And I was like, okay, after two drinks, I'll text her.
Oh, you did it right there during the live podcast.
Yeah.
Well done.
So I heard that it was at my live.
Yeah, it was.
Because you were about to play hard to get with yourself.
Yeah. I was not going to do it. So then I had my two drinks. And here come the listeners. Katie, I saw you had those drinks. It's time to text her. And I was like, I can't run from them. So they're like, you got to do it right now, right now. And so then I texted her. Now, I didn't know what I was going to say or how honest I was going to be. So I just said, well, I guess playing hard to get backfired with the like meme from Michael Scott from The Office. Mm-hmm. That, yikes. Mm-hmm. She responded back. She questioned it, you know, with the question mark. Like, what do you mean? And then that's when all the word vomit just came out.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, look, I always get in my head overthink. And then I thought that if I took all this time and not responded, blah, blah, can we just start over fresh? And she said yes.
Yeah.
Yes!
All right. Okay.
Honesty.
Yes.
And then did you ghost her?
No. This weekend we have a date. We actually set up a date for this weekend.
Okay.
So there's a second chance.
Look at that.
Yeah. Abby, I think you said it really, really well there. Like, when you're like 100% honest, mm-hmm. like, look, I was a real D-bag here. I was playing a game. How could she not think that that's endearing?
Exactly. So we'll see how this date goes.
Well.
Wish me luck.
Well played.
What are y'all going to do?
Congratulations.
I have no clue yet.
Okay.
Right. I just asked her availability, and I have not planned anything yet.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Well done. Well done. There's a lesson to be learned there for sure.
The Burt Show.
I recently, you all came on the air and shared your deep, dark secrets for $100. There were so many of you because, you know, cold hard cash was involved that we recorded some of those during a commercial break, and we have saved them for our bonus BS. You can go to theburtshow.com/bonus BS. I will give you a warning. One dude shared his deep, dark secret and the math wasn't mathing, and we had to call BS on him and like, nah, bruh, you ain't getting that $100.
Yeah, plus, minus, plus, plus, minus equals felony, I think. So I think that he was trying to, like, approximate ages.
We wanted deep, dark secrets, but not ones that made us feel like we were accomplices. So you can go to theburtshow.com/bonus BS and check it out.
She can't figure out why things are going so well in her marriage, so he must be cheating. And she wants us to get to the bottom of it, okay? This is the email that we got for To Catch a Cheater, War of the Roses. Yo. Over the past couple of years, my marriage hit a really rocky patch. We were both always annoyed with the other person. We argued all the time. One of the issues that we would fight about was our sex life. My husband seemed to want it a lot more than I did. It would often cause a lot of tension. I wanted us to go to couples therapy and work through our issues, but we never did. At our lowest moments, I was convinced we were headed for divorce, but in the past few months, it's been a drastic change. Can't put my finger on what changed, but my husband is suddenly more careful, or cheerful, I should say, and seems less annoyed with me. Our arguments have significantly decreased, and the pressure for sex has nearly disappeared.
Maybe he got on meds.
While part of me is grateful, another part of me can't help but feel uneasy. I started wondering if this change in his behavior might be because he found somebody else and is having an affair. I find myself overanalyzing his every move, looking for signs and second guessing everything. Is it possible that he's cheating, and that's why he seems so, quote-unquote, content now? Or am I just being paranoid? It feels like a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. But because I'm relieved if we aren't fighting as much, but I'm also worried that we aren't fighting as much. So help me figure out, my marriage seems to be better because he's already moved on. Now, I am curious if any of you guys listening, anybody at all in our 25 cities that thought that, okay, he must be cheating because things are going too well in our relationship. 1-855-BIRCHELL.
Well, here, if there's a drastic change in somebody's mood or behaviors, that's going to be cause for alarm, even if they are for the better, especially if you have not done anything to alter that mood or behavior. It's one thing if you are in a relationship and you're in a marriage and the two of you were butting heads, like, you know, Bart and I were going through a tough time, but we worked on it together. We both made adjustments and now we're in better places and we're happier because we know each other has made alterations to be better partners for each other. But if you haven't done anything and you are still the same old annoying you, but all of a sudden he's like on cloud nine, I don't begrudge her for thinking something has to be up.
Maybe he just read a book about being happy.
Well, then he should have shared. So why is he? He should share it. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, here's a wild thought. What if he just did some internal work on his own and realized, I don't actually like arguing with my wife about certain things. I feel like I am putting too much pressure on her for the sex. What if I just take a step back, look at myself and what I can improve? So, I mean, maybe he's not stepping out. Maybe he just really is going through like a self-help journey, if you will. Maybe he did find a book. And I don't know. It doesn't seem like this would be that much cause for alarm to think that he's actually going to blow up your marriage.
I feel like I hate that I'm going to say this because I don't like the fact that I've been in a relationship before where I just was in a mental place and I just needed to go through something. And I feel like every time that has happened to me, my partner assumed that it was because it was another woman, and it never was. I just really was going through something. But in a case like this, where it seems like his change has been so drastic and so quickly and out of nowhere, I can't be mad at the fact that she thinks that it could be because somebody else is in the picture.
We have had men and women on this show over the course of the last 20 years that said that while they would never tell their significant other this, that their affair led to a better marriage, that their significant other never knew about it, but they realized at that point what they needed and they felt loved and then demanded it from their husband or wife, and it made their relationship better.
And let's go ahead and call out the obvious. There's a lack of communication here. Like, when you see changes in your partner for the better or for the good, like, you talk about it and be like, hey, I've noticed that you seem to be in a really good place, and I'm just curious, like, what have you been working on? What have you been doing? Because I would like to be there with you as well. Like, you don't have to come down on them for being a happier, better version of themselves, but like, open dialogue within your marriage should be encouraged.
And he'd probably be very honest and say, I just got myself a new side piece. And it's really, really helped out a lot, but I'm glad you're digging the results, wifey. Sarah wants to be on The Voice Disguiser, so let's give her what she wants. Hey, Sarah, good morning.
Good morning. Okay. Well, my ex-husband, I noticed a change in his behavior as well. One change, he started using Irish Spring. That's like a huge red flag. Okay. And then also, I just noticed he was, I don't know how to say this on the air, but his private parts smelled different.
Smelt different.
They started washing them?
They smelt or they felt different?
No, they smell different.
They smell.
I mean, I think most women know what they smell like.
Yep.
They can pick up if it smells like someone else.
Gotcha. Yes.
It wasn't a cleansing thing. It was a lack of cleansing.
Gotcha. Isn't there a parody song about that? Where she's singing to him, let me smell.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so that was the first tip off right there. Okay.
Why is Irish Spring the cheater soap?
It's not the cheater soap.
Because I use Irish Spring.
I have too.
Why is that, Sarah?
Well, because it's very strong. It has a very heavy fragrance. So if you're trying to cover something up, Yeah, Irish spray.
I just wanted to smell good.
Oh, really?
Okay. Okay.
Man, there's a whole bunch of dudes going out and getting dubbed today.
Unscented.
I'm just trying to cover up stank.
That's it.
All right, so we'll test her man, who has been a great husband, and that's weird for her. So there must be something going on, so we'll test him tonight.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't gotta worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart. But we didn't stop there. We combined soft and bouncy to bring you new Sweet Tarts Gummies Fruity Splits, a uniquely delicious dual-sided gummy with one side that's sweet and one side that's tart, but entirely smooth and squishy. Mmm, a powerfully perfect combo. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine.
The Burt Show.
All right, Abby, moving on here. When is it appropriate for one family member to introduce the new girlfriend or boyfriend to all the family?
Yeah, I feel like there's got to be some kind of parameters for when you should break the news that you're seeing somebody, particularly when you tell your entire extended family, but not your mom or your dad. So over the weekend, my mom was in town, and we were having a great time hanging out, you know, talking about the family and everything that's been going on with everybody, you know, catching up, girl talk. And my mom's lucky because she gets to hear about my life all the time. I come on the show. I am contractually obligated to spill my guts on air. So if we don't talk for like a couple of weeks, it's really no big deal because she gets to hear about my life and what I'm up to on the show. My brother has a very different communication style, in the sense that there's really no communication at all. And we sometimes just like don't really know what's going on in his life. I mean, it'll be months before we hear anything. And really, the only thing me and my brother talk about is our ninja creamy recipes. Like, sometimes he'll just send me a picture of what he's making, and I'll send him a picture of what I'm making. And that's the only communication we'll have until Christmas. So when my mom came into town this weekend and we were hanging out, she was texting my aunt, her sister, about the bachelorette party that I'm going on next week with my cousin, because we're planning it. And all of a sudden she goes, my sister just said that my brother is watching college football with them with a girl. And like, he introduced her to them. And we were like, what? We didn't know he was even dating somebody. And so my mom texted her back and said, what's the deal? Like, have they been going on a couple of dates? What do we know about this girl? And she said, I think they've been out a few times. She's super nice, kind of quiet. And that's really all she said. And we were like, oh, so she's ugly? Like, that's all the details we're getting. She said, no, she's a great, cute girl. And we were just shocked because we have had no information on his dating life. No, sometimes we'll get like a tip, like, oh, I went on a date with this girl, went great. Oh, I went on a date with this girl, went bad. And this time we've heard absolutely nothing. And apparently she has met my entire extended family in Tampa. Because they were watching college football together.
Was it just one of those, like, he didn't intend to introduce her, but they all just happened to be at the same place, so it happened? Or was there a little more like intent behind it?
I get the sense that maybe him and this girl were just hanging out, and my brother is very, very close with my extended family, and so college football, of course, yeah, like they're gonna go watch it together. And I get the sense that he was just like, well, let's just go watch it with my family. But I wouldn't just do that with somebody I've only been out with like once.
So your mom didn't know about it and you did not know about it?
None of us knew about this, just my extended family.
So let me ask you this question. Do you think that he didn't tell you guys because he didn't want to be peppered with questions? It's still fairly casual, but I don't know. Maybe you guys hit him up more?
I tend to kind of keep my distance because he likes his distance, and I don't ever want to be the overbearing sister in the sense that my mom doesn't want to be the overbearing mom. So we don't really tend to ask questions about his love life unless he offers up that information. And every now and then I will get a text from him where he's like, hey, I'm going through this with a girl. What do you think I should do? Like, how would you respond? And that'll happen every now and then. But it's not super rare to where he'll be dating someone for a while and we will just have absolutely no idea until we take a family trip down to Tampa. And so my question is like, do we now have the right to ask him?
Yeah, because you know.
Because we know.
Because you know.
Okay.
Well, yes. let's try to
make him feel bad about it. I'm trying to put, because like as a mother of a son and I'm putting myself in your mom's shoes, the other family finding out about his girlfriend before me, that would be a very tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, Saturday was very interesting with Carrie. Okay,
I think we could have a very strong voice here. Mo, so give us the mindset here. Why would he not tell mom and sister but extend it to everybody else?
I've been in similar situations, and I certainly probably would have told my mom and sisters last, and they would pry, too, if they found out. They wouldn't hesitate to do it. But I think, for me, it was more so because I know how invested they become in the person that I'm dating. And so I feel more comfortable waiting to a certain point of the relationship where I'm more confident that it will be worth their investment before I actually involve them with the person I'm dating.
So it means more to wait.
Yes.
I would think of yourselves as the higher tier.
Right.
Of acceptance.
Oh, okay. Like, he wants my approval more than he really cares about our extended family.
Well, he's just probably not sure there's even a conversation there yet.
Okay.
So rather than am I getting that right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's not that serious yet.
It's not that serious. And when it does, then he'll have answers for you. But if he introduces you now, he doesn't feel like, I'm guessing, it's at that level just yet.
Okay, he doesn't want us to get attached. So really, he was doing us a favor by keeping this under wraps.
100%.
All right. I feel better about this, and I'm sure my mom will too.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
So now that Taylor Swift may or may not be dating Travis Kelce, some activists are hoping that she's going to speak out against some of their Native American imagery for the Kansas City Chiefs. So a Native American activist named Rhonda Lavaldo, she's hoping that with Taylor's platform, she can eradicate the tomahawk chop, maybe even get them to rename the team name from Kansas City Chiefs to something else. And she says, we remain hopeful that an outside influence like Miss Swift could be an ally for us in moving the conversation forward on why the chop is a racist act. To us, that hand gesture is synchronized racism. We implore Miss Swift to take the time to understand our perspective and the scientific and psychological research into the harm to youth and communities caused by such behavior.
I mean, man, talk about the pressure. She just went to a game to root somebody on.
Jeez.
And now they're putting this on her shoulders?
Well, yeah, you could politicize anything. You could politicize anything, man. So if this is really your passion, so you're going to attach to it because now you feel like there's sort of room for discussion.
Uh-huh.
So, but that's a lot of pressure for her. You're right. Just showing up to a game. I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah, and I mean, by all means, pursue what you're passionate about and what you want to change. But I don't even know if guilt's the right word, but by forcing your interest onto somebody else and making it also their platform, it feels, and putting it in the media, it feels unfair to me.
I agree with you, and that's why I actually think this was just a way to get
rooting for Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, but some of his fans are not too happy with his choice of his new lady. So Travis's last two girlfriends have been black women. He dated a woman named Maya from his show Catching Kelce and a broadcast journalist / influencer named Kayla Nicole. Both gorgeous women, by the way. I was looking at his roster of women that he's dated. I was like, Travis, he's got a good lineup.
He's not a bad looking dude either.
He's not, and he's an NFL player.
Yeah. And he makes a lot of money.
And for you. He's tall.
He's so tall. I saw him standing next to Taylor Swift, and she's like 5'11". He's 6'5". He made her look so small. She would look like a small girl. Anyway, the Atlanta Black Star is reporting that some of Kelce's female fans are upset that he's now dating a white woman. A couple of the tweets said he had to go back to his roots. Another person said, let him have his vanilla bean. Let him have his vanilla bean. He is going to be a new song in 1 year. Watch for it.
I think it's ridiculous. You should be able to date whoever you want. Right. But I do think it's funny that he did change his look up with, right, depending on who he was dating.
Is that right?
Yes. When he was dating the black woman, he had earrings. He had the buzz cut. He had waves. He was like fresh to the nines. And he went back to the tough, thick mustache. With yeah, it's funny.
The outfit that he was wearing out of the stadium, did you see that one? Like, it's almost like it was a white canvas and somebody had like thrown blue paint on it.
Yeah.
It kind of has like a little bit of a tie-dye look to it.
Yeah.
Did it?
Yes.
Okay. It gave me a headache.
It was interesting.
I was like looking for, I thought it was a 3D painting. I was looking for something in it.
A dolphin to jump out at you? He did look good, though. I will say the man's got some swag. He always looks nice every time I see him photographed before his games. But I will say he has some major riz off the court, because I heard a little rumor that he cleared out an entire restaurant just so he could have an after party for the game to, you know, entertain Miss Swift and his other teammates.
Here's the problem with that, though, is he didn't do it beforehand, so there were people in the restaurant, from what I understand. And they kicked the people out of the restaurant eating.
They did pay for that, for their meals.
Oh,
they're like,
did?
Listen, I know it's 8 p.m. We have a hard close. You got to get out of here, but everything's paid for.
And when you're dating somebody as high profile as Taylor Swift, your old interviews are going to come back to haunt you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he did a reality TV show, right, about dating?
Yeah. Well, there was an, and I can't remember who it was for.
Is this the Watch What Happens Live one?
Yes.
So this one really rubbed me the wrong way. So Travis went on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen when he was doing promotion. I know. It really rubs me the wrong way. So he was doing promotion for Catching Kelce, which was like his Bachelor style show. Not quite the same quality, but kind of the same thing. And Ramona Singer, who's one of the housewives, asked him something about when should a woman sleep with you when you're dating, and he said if she doesn't sleep with me after 3 dates, I'm going to have some questions.
And there's certain favors that if he doesn't receive, he's going to kick you to the curb.
Yeah. Oh. Well, if I look as good as Travis Kelce, I would expect it in the first 3 dates also. Looking like this, I go for 3 years. He goes for 3 dates.
I don't know. It made me feel a little icky. But yeah, anyway, Tory Lanez, he's got a message for us from prison. It's on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
One thing I have always admired about Mo is that he is just a solid, solid family dude and a great older brother, protective older brother, always in touch. And that is about to turn.
Exactly that. I think this might be the first time ever that I've felt like I'm completely out of the loop in my family. And it may be my fault. And it's ironic because it's kind of in the same vein of what you were talking about earlier, Abby, on when is the right time to tell your family that you are dating someone. And so this started when, I don't know if you guys remember, but I came on and told y'all that my middle sister was dating someone, and I had no idea, which that was already kind of shocking to me, and I wasn't sure how to feel about it. But I kind of got it, because in her life, I have been the overprotective brother. Mm-hmm. So I saw it as maybe she didn't think it was time, or the relationship had developed enough for her to even bring it to me. That's kind of how I took it.
It sounds like the same rules apply for you as they did for Abby's brother that she was telling us about earlier.
Exactly that. So the only thing that kind of threw me a little bit was that they were already at the point of traveling the world together, like leaving the country, going from place to place. And I didn't even know the dude's name yet. So I went to my dad and was like, is it just me? He was like, nope, I don't know him either.
I was like, and your dad's a cop.
Yeah, right? So I didn't take it personally, or at least I tried not to make it about me. I figured whenever she decided to come talk to me about him, she would. And if she didn't, she wouldn't. And it was what it was. And
so you don't feel like once you do know he exists that you can reach out and be like, yo, tell me about this new guy.
So that's where I was kind of torn, right? And Abby, you asked earlier if you should do that. And so because I know I have the reputation of being the overprotective brother, I was like, I am going to take her not coming to me as a sign that she either doesn't want to or she's not ready to, and I'm not going to force it. So I didn't. I let it go. Now, that was a few months back now, of which I've kind of tried to just put it in the back of my mind and move on. So ironically, I get a phone call last week as I'm sitting around with Katie and a friend of mine, and it's my mom. And my mom is like, hey, Reese, I need you to come home. Or you don't have to, but if you can. So I'm like, okay, when? And she goes, Monday. So I'm like, Mom, who asked somebody to come home on a Monday? I can't come home on a Monday. And she's like, well, I know, but it's last minute, and it's the only day that we can kind of make this work because your sister is moving. Now, as this conversation is progressing, for like the first 5 to 10 minutes of the conversation, I didn't think much of it because I thought she was referring to my baby sister who still lives at home with my parents. And she's been trying to move out of the house for years. So my first thought was a happy thought. Like, oh, great. She's finally got it together. She's moving out on her own. This is awesome. I may not be able to make it on Monday, but I can certainly make it on one of the weekends so that we can all celebrate as a family. And she's like, well, it's fine if you can't, because eventually I'm going to have to move to California to help her move in anyway. So I said,
move or just?
No, move.
She's going to move. Wow. Okay.
That was my reaction.
Yeah.
Like, California, Colorado?
Is that a city that you know?
It must be a city I'm unfamiliar with. And she's like, no, she's moving to California. So I'm like, wait, my baby sister's moving to California? She said, no, we're talking about your other sister. I said, whoa, wait, what? She's moving where? She's like, yeah, she's moving to California with her boyfriend.
Whoa.
I said, okay. All right.
I'm going to make that flight.
Now I'm going to have to make this happen. So I didn't know how to feel. I mean, I'm happy for her, I think.
You wish you would have heard from her that she was making like these big life moves?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't want to make it about me.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, okay, maybe this is partially my fault. Maybe I was a little too hard on her when we were younger, and I might have closed that door of allowing her to feel like it was okay to come to me about a situation that maybe doesn't look the best on paper. Because I can look at it and see how she would feel as a sister. My brother not going to go for this. He's not going to be happy about it. He hasn't met the guy. Barely knows the guy. We haven't known each other that long, and I'm packing up to move to a different state with him. Yeah, I'm a little uncomfortable with that, but I would have, I would like to believe that in my growth, I would have kind of hit it a little bit and kept it to myself.
While I do love the idea of you looking at yourself and your role in this, let me just throw this in here also. Is it possible she just didn't want to hear the truth, which is what you would have spit on her for sure?
His truth.
Not the truth.
A truth.
It's someone's truth. I think that's a part of it, because I think that's what she probably feels as if she would have got that from me and my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So she probably was a little more comfortable going to the women in the family.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of just left me and my dad on the outside, of which, I mean, I've taken it in stride. It is what it is. I just don't really know how to move as an older brother now. Do I say something? Do I not say anything? Do I let it play out?
You congratulate her. Have you congratulated her?
Well, I don't even feel like she knows that I know, so I don't even know if I'm supposed to really know, because I didn't hear it from her.
Did you ask your mom if you were supposed to know, and is she allowed to know that you know?
Wait, hold on a second. We're talking about a sister moving states to California with a dude that he doesn't know and dad doesn't know. I mean, before she moves, it would make sense to have a conversation.
No, it wouldn't, because Mo is her brother, and as her older brother, what? I totally understand you look out for your siblings.
Yeah.
He's not her father.
There's no conversation to be had.
Is it an adult?
It's not like she has to go through him for approval, but I mean, as a brother that's been tight, it seems to me.
Oh, telling him yes.
Okay, I misunderstood. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the family dynamics might be very different, because in our family, that's normally how it goes down. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all grew up together. If I were to date a woman and I was so serious to where I was moving to stay with her, I certainly would have ran it by my sisters, not for approval, but this was going on in my life, what do you think type thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But for me, I felt like, and maybe I'm taking it wrong, but to me, it felt like a clear message that if I didn't hear it from her, then she doesn't want to talk to me about it.
Has your mom met this dude?
Yes, I believe.
And your sisters have met this dude?
Yes.
And you've met him, right?
No, I've not met
him. You've never met him?
I've not met him. I don't know his name. I don't know his background. I don't know anything. Like, anything. I know his age. That's all I know. And he's older. That's all I know. So I just, I don't know. I just don't know how to feel about it.
I feel uneasy about it, too. But You know, and look, quite honestly, family is not my strong point the way I grew up. But in looking at your healthy relationship with your family, it certainly seems to me like you if everybody else in the family knows, you should be able to pick up the phone and go, can you tell me about this dude?
So my brother and I have a tight relationship, right? And we end up finding a lot about each other's lives through our mom just because we talk to her more than we talk to each other.
Makes
and that's
sense.
Just a given, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to get news like this from my mom about my brother, right? And we also know that about our mom. Like, if something happens, she gonna spill the tea. Like, it ain't staying in the pot, right? So I would hit up my brother and be like, hey, I heard you're moving to California. That's so exciting. Would love to hear more about it. Call me so we can catch up whenever.
Okay.
And I wouldn't even bring the dude into it. I would just talk it like that's a really big monumental moment for her to move to another state. So I would 100% hit my brother up and ask him about that.
You're getting ghosted by your sister.
No, you're not.
That's what's happening here.
She's busy. She's got a lot of shoes to pack. Uh-huh. And so a lot of furniture to figure out.
Busy.
I'd be hurt if I were you, but I think Kristen's right. A quick phone call could probably put this to rest.
Okay.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
What a day it was yesterday. All of us shoulder to shoulder, diaper to diaper, taking a picture together.
Cheek to cheek.
And, you know, Kristen, for maximum embarrassment, we could have taken this picture yesterday, which Kristen will explain more in just a second. We could have done it in any one of the studios, in any one of the empty offices here at corporate that aren't occupied on any given day. Could have done it.
Lot to choose from,
Mo.
Uh-huh.
No, not Kristen. Has to go out in the parking lot where everybody can see us going in and going out of the building.
I was already feeling daggers when I was like, no, you can't wear leggings underneath your diaper. And then when I was like, all right, where are we going? I'm like, all right, everybody outside. And everybody's like, what? We're doing what? Outside? I'm like, yes. Helping mamas drove their van here, the van that they use to deliver diapers to families and babies in need. The van is downstairs. We're taking our picture in our diapers downstairs in front of the van.
Well, we could have taken it in the van. And been sheltered also.
And then, of course, we were taking it in direct sunlight, and I was worried about people's faces, so I made everybody go around the backside of the van so we could take one in the shade. And then I was like, you know what? We might as well turn around and show off our booty. So we had to do a butt shot, too.
Either way, getting away from the vanity, you guys did an amazing job.
Gosh.
Yeah, we took a picture, which was sort of embarrassing. It was over in like 5 minutes. You guys did the heavy lifting on this thing again. And it's important, and you made an impact.
Yes, which is why I wanted to, one more time, thank you guys for your donations to Helping Mamas. And I thought, what better person to have on the air than Jamie Lackey? She is the founder and CEO of Helping Mamas. And they're the ones behind the Helping Mamas Challenge to fill the warehouse, to collect 300,000 diapers. So, Jamie, what did you think when you saw the Burt Show fam had raised or donated 52,304 diapers?
Oh my gosh, you guys. I was so blown away. Stephanie texted me and was like, Jamie, it's 52,000 diapers. I was like, no way. This is not even possible. Your listeners are phenomenal. You all are phenomenal. I'm so speechless. You said, come on the show and paint the picture. I'm like, I can't. I'm speechless. There's no word for this.
So what can 52,304 diapers do for the moms you help?
You know, it does so much. And one of the things I like to say is, you know, it's so much more than this diaper, right? Like, it's so much more than what one diaper can do for them. It's being seen and heard and feeling part of a community, right? Like, you're going through some hard times, and all of us, they're all going through hard times. It's worse now than it's ever been financially for so many folks. And it's tough. And to be surrounded by a community like yours in particular, gives them hope, and it gives them the chance to know that they're going to get through this hard time. And it gives their kids in childcare. It gets them to work. Without diapers, you can't go to childcare. Without childcare, you can't work. So it gets their one more foot in front of each other one more day to keep going. And it's just, it's powerful what you're doing, and it's powerful what you're letting them do.
Now, and I really wanted you guys to realize the impact. No matter how many diapers you donated, every single one makes a difference. And Jamie, just, I love your organization. I'm so glad we were able to help. And I just really wanted to have you on so our listeners who contributed know what an impact they made.
Yeah, you guys are amazing. We're so grateful. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. You're just incredible.
I feel like we're a little bit like Taylor Swift a couple of years ago when everybody used to make fun of her when she would win award after award after award and she'd be shocked every time. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm getting another award. Every time we ask you guys to do something, oh you gosh. Step up and we're still shocked every time that you do it.
And this time y'all didn't just step up. Like, you blew away the goal. Yeah. So, yeah. And if people want to know more, Jamie, about what you guys do, where can they go?
Helpingmamas.org, and Mamas is M-A-M-A-S.
And is it true that 52,000 diapers, that's going to end up helping 2,000 babies?
2,000. Wow. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Wow.
And do all of those stay in Georgia, or is that a national thing, or?
No, I'll stay right here in Georgia.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's really great. Well, we are glad to help out. We are forced to help out, but we're glad we did.
I strong-armed everybody into a diaper, but
We were voluntold.
I like that, Tommy.
That is exactly right.
Well, thank you for coming on, Jamie, and we're more than happy that we could help you guys out. And do we look forward to doing it again next year?
I'm coming with some. Gotta be another way.
I will tell you this, and I have not skipped leg day in 2 weeks.
Dude, your quads were looking tight.
Yeah, that's all because of this right here, okay? All right, Jamie, take care. We will be in touch soon, okay?
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care. All right, 52,000 diapers helping 2,000 kids around Georgia.
Thank you all so, so much.
Y'all kick some serious booty. All right, Jackson Kim, our new phone screener, dang near hit the lottery over the weekend.
It wasn't me. It was not me. This is a story that I can tell, but it was not me. It was actually my girlfriend. So we decided to go to the Atlanta United game this past Saturday. And
did Messi play?
Messi did not, which was known. And it was my girlfriend's first time going to an Atlanta United game, first time at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Oh, wow. So it was like a very exciting time. We showed up to the game. First half was phenomenal. We got to see, I think it was like 2-1 by the end of the half.
Isn't it super fun? Like, even if you don't know, I keep telling people, if you know nothing about soccer or nothing about sports, just getting caught up in the excitement, because these fans are nutty. They really are nutty.
The energy there is really something crazy. And that, like, that section with all, like, the flags waving and all, like, the chants and stuff.
Staying up the whole game.
Yes. Exactly. It's such a fun time. People doing the wave, you know.
Yeah, that was us. We got to start.
And so at halftime, we were like, okay, let's go grab some food, maybe some drinks. And so, you know, we leave our seats, and we noticed that they had set up right outside of our section a, like, golf simulator area where they have like these hitting bays where you hit a golf ball off of turf into like a projector screen, basically. And the big headline on it was hole in one for $65,000. And there's this long line of people that are waiting to just, you know, take a shot at hitting a hole in one on this, you know, screen simulator to win some money, right? And so my girlfriend and I are avid golfers. And so we're like, well, you know, it's worth a shot, right? Like, we may as well give it a try. So
is it costing you anything to give it a shot?
Nope. Nothing. Free.
Okay.
Free to try, right? So I grab us some drinks. She's waiting in line for us. I get back over there and we're, you know, next up in line and she's like going first. There's a decent crowd around us. So there's like, you know, some pressure on the shot. You only get one chance at it, right? And so
I'm like, whiff it, man.
Exactly. And so I'm holding, like, she's taking off like all of her rings and like giving me like all of her stuff to hold. And she steps up there first and she takes, you know, she picks a club out from the bag. And the first shot that she hits was pure as could possibly be, but the sensor didn't register. And I was like, man, that looked really good. And so the guy's like, oh, you have to put the ball like right here, like in a different area. And she's like, okay, cool. So I'm like, man, that like looked really good. So she lines up again and she hits her second shot. And this ball is tracking exactly towards the hole the entire way. And like, you can feel the energy and excitement. Like, everyone's going like, go, go, go. And people are freaking out. It lands on the front side of the green and it's rolling, tracking directly towards the hole.
Is everybody just losing their mind as it's rolling?
Everyone's going crazy. And like, right before this, I had asked the guy, like, has anyone actually won this? And he was like, yeah, just last year, someone had won this. And so the ball is traveling and trickling right towards the hole, and it stops literally like 6 inches to the right.
No, 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 no.
I know. And everyone was just going bananas. And I was like, it was like one of the most exciting things ever. And then I was like, now I have to follow this up and I have to hit now.
Were you even close after that?
My line was really good, but it was short.
And it was for $66,000.
It was $66,000 towards a new Mercedes because it's like sponsored by Mercedes-Benz.
All right. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.